found you in your miry clay, and I took your hand and I pulled you up, that you will know the truth of who you are and what your future holds. How many says amen to that? So when I think about Jesus, as an atheist, it just touched my heart when I saw what he did. How many has ever read the scriptures and it touched your heart for the compassion that Jesus had? He taught. Remember the story of the teacher of the law. He came to Jesus and said to him, no, I don't want to go there. Yes, I do. He said to him, how do I get eternal life? He looked chapter 10 and he said, well, what's the commandments? Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And then he asked, well, who is my neighbor? Remember? And then Jesus told a little story about who his neighbor is. And he said, there was a man who walked on the road to Damascus, and he got beaten up by robbers. He led bleeding and dying on the road. And a Jew, a priest, came along, and when he saw him, he worked on the other side. You know, Amy was just talking about how sometimes we get become aware of a need, but we just go on the other side. We just close our hearts. That's not our problem. And so here is a priest who should know better, but he is too busy. You know, he probably has an appointment, and he walks on the other side and ignores him. And then there is a Levite, is somebody who looks after the temple, and he comes and he does the same. He walks on the other side, but then comes a Samaritan. And you need to know this. Samaritans are hated. They hate it. And so the reason that the teacher of the law asked, so who is my neighbor, is because he was thinking, there are some people that I love, but there are some people I don't love. How many past people that you don't love? And you're thinking, surely the people I don't love cannot be my neighbor. He's trying to justify it, that it's okay to hate some people. So Jesus uses the Samaritans, which are hated by the Jews, as being the one who comes along, and he sees the bleeding man laying on the road, and he picks him up and cares for him and loves him. You see, with Jesus, when he taught, there is never room for hatred. No matter if that person is your enemy. How many has read Luke 6? It says, love your enemy. Bless those who curse you. If you only love those who love you, what credit is that to you? He's challenging us that when you go over and above what you feel in your flesh to love somebody and have compassion for somebody, there's a reward in heaven. Amen. Because that is exactly what Jesus has done for you and I. While we were still an enemy of him, he came to rescue us. While I was still a sinner, Jesus died for me. Amen. So when I watched Jesus, I saw him. He saw a man was blind who called out to him, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he stopped in his tracks. Jesus was always going somewhere, and he stopped and he healed the man. When Jesus saw 5,000 hungry people, he fed them all. When Jesus saw a woman who was who was a widow, and her son was being buried. And you can imagine the grief that this woman was going through. He went right up and he touched the body of this dying son. And that's against the law also. But he did it, and he raised the son from the dead. Why? Because Jesus had compassion. There was a centurion, which is a Roman captain, a hated enemy of Israel. And he came up to Jesus and says, "Please heal my servant." And out of compassion, Jesus made the commandment and healed the servant. There was no respect of people in his eyes. And one day, they brought a woman to him, caught in adultery. That's John chapter 8, I think it is. Chapter 6. John 6. He was caught in adultery. I'm glad you know the Bible, guys. He was caught in adultery. And they came up. They were ready to murder him, her. They had the stones in their hands. And they said to Jesus, "Moses' law says that somebody caught in adultery should die. What do you say, Jesus?" And Jesus didn't answer at first because he knew it was a trap. They were trying to trap him. And so he was writing a little bit in the sand, and then he looked up and he said, "Okay, the first one without sin, throw the stone." And then he went down and wrote something else, and nobody knows what he wrote, but he probably wrote out the sins of the people who stood there with the rocks. I don't know for sure, but that's probably what happened. And one by one, they dropped their rocks and they walked away. And finally, Jesus, he looked up and he said to her, "Anybody condemning you?" And he said, "No, they all left." And he says, "Well, I don't condemn you either, but sin no more." Do you know that Jesus rescued her in that moment from death? Why? Because of his compassion. Because of his love. Do you know that Jesus went on the cross and he took the wrath of God upon you? The death that you should have died, he died for you. Because of his compassion for you. He took the death that you should have died, that you may live the life that he lived. How many says amen to that? And he's saying, as he had compassion for you, now have compassion for others. Even your enemies. Even those who hate your guts. Even those who want to slap you on one side, he says, just turn the other cheek. Have compassion. Clothe yourself with compassion. Clothe yourself with understanding. A lot of us have no compassion for others because we don't see what God sees. How many knows that when you're angry at somebody and you want to kick them hard, or you don't want to care for them, you actually want to run away from them, it's because you really don't see them as God sees them. You just see them as somebody who has hurt you, offended you, or whatever. You know, they don't look all that great. So why, you know, they smell, they're miserable, they are grouchy, they are whatever they are. They're not nice to be around, so why should I be around them? But that's not God. God has compassion for the least of everyone. Abby was talking about the kids. God has compassion for those kids. That her heart is his heart. I heard this story. The founder of YLM shared it with his name, Lauren Cunningham. He said there was a man who shared the gospel in Russia, and he got thrown in jail for 14 years. And while he was in the jail, they labored, they worked him hard. It was the second worst prison in Russia. And he thought, well, if I am in jail, I might as well do something for God. And so he bowed down and he said, Lord, show me the worst criminal in this prison. And there was a notorious murderer in the prison who the guards feared and every inmate feared. And he got his name and he began to pray. And although they only got a little bit of food and they worked 12 hours, he decided, I'm going to fast for this guy. And he began to fast the little meal he had. And every day he bowed down and he prayed. One day, as he was kneeling down and praying, there was somebody standing behind him. He turned around and there he saw the murderer standing there. And the murderer said to him, what are you doing? He said, I'm praying. Who are you praying for? I'm praying for you. And a few days later, this man gave his heart to Jesus. And he got completely transformed by the gospel. And it became known in the whole prison. And it affected the whole prison to the extent that one day the officers called him in and said, what have you done to this man? He said, I've done nothing but pray. God has done something. Oh, we don't believe in God. We're communists. We don't believe in God. No, but it's God who did this. Well, we don't care what happened, but you did something awesome. So we're going to give you a lighter job so that you can do more to other prisoners as what you did to this guy. And so the whole prison got impacted by the gospel to the extent that one day they called him in and said, there is the worst prison in all of Russia, and if you agree to go there, we'll send you there and we'll give you a lesser sentence. So he went to the worst prison in all of Russia. And he began to do the same, preach the gospel, praying and seeing people saved. And the time came for him to be released, but he felt that God had called him to continue the ministry he started. So he wrote a letter to his wife saying, honey, I love you, but you need to understand that I need to stay for a little longer to finish what I started here. Why would a man do that? Why would a man do that? Because he had the compassion of Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:3, he says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us all in our troubles so we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. He's a God, a Father of compassion. He is a God of comfort. And when ye receive it, it is for you to comfort others. Amen. We had a men's Bible study on Wednesday, and I asked Pat, when has God shown compassion to you? And so he said this. He said, Hans, when I lost my wife to a terrible car accident, somebody told you about me and you came to visit me in the hospital. I didn't know Pat. But Mary Steiner told me to go and see him because he had lost his wife. Or he hadn't lost his wife, but she was paralyzed. She was in a coma. I went to the hospital. I introduced myself to Pat. I prayed with him. And then a few months later, Beverly and Ron took him. They ran a restaurant out here. And he came for coffee, and Beverly and Ron ministered to him and said, why don't you come to church with us? And probably 4 or 5 months after the accident, he came for the first time. And I remember him coming for the first time. I remember him walking to the front the very first Sunday, and he gave his heart to Jesus. And he walked out and he said there was a ton had been lifted off his shoulders. And now he ministers with his bass guitar at the Cowboy Church, and he has ministers to his own kids. And I just want to say, what happened was, somebody had compassion for Pat when he lost his wife. Because God had compassion for Pat. Amen. You see, sometimes we can want to do good things in the world. And it may be motivated by our own selfishness, but when it's God's motivating you, then it becomes his compassion that flows through you. Amen. Paul always refers back to what Jesus has done for you and I. And out of that, he says, now do likewise. Amen. Are you ready to do likewise? Are you ready to do likewise? I'm going to ask the worship team come. There's a story in Luke chapter 15. And the story is, it's a story that Jesus tells us. It's a father who has two sons. And the youngest son asks the father for his inheritance. And the father gives it to him, and he walks away, and he wastes it on women and drunkenness, drugs. The time comes when he runs out of money and there's drought and all the friends disappear. How many knows that's not real friends when they just come for the money? He's all alone. He ends up in a pig pen, and he is hungry, so hungry he's actually eating the pig food. And he comes to his senses and says to himself, it's better to be a slave or a servant in my father's house than living in this pig pen. And he goes, gets up and decides to go home and repent before his father. The Bible says that the father saw him coming and he ran towards him full of compassion and love and embraced his son and forgave him before he even had said a word. And he clothed him with a garment signifying that he was reinstated as a son. That Jesus gives us that picture to show us the heart of the Father. And he's saying to us, as I have embraced you, even though you have sinned, even though you have been an enemy of mine, even though you took what I gave you and you wasted it away and spoiled it on your own selfish desires, even though you've done that, I am going to forgive you and I'm going to give you what you did not deserve, which is you're going to be chosen to be mine. And he's saying, as I have embraced you when you were a miserable one, so embrace others with the same compassion. How many says amen to that? Let's stand.